Hello, I'm Paul Scott. This morning I'm talking again to Gavin Lavelle, CEO of Brady, ticker BRY. Quick disclaimers, I'm not giving financial advice or any recommendation. I don't currently hold any position in Brady, and I'm not charging a fee for this interview. So, morning, Gavin.
Paul, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. You got in contact, Gavin, because I think you wanted to come back and respond to some points I made, I think it was earlier this week, on the 21st of March in my Stockopedia report. So we've agreed we're going to use that report as the sort of the framework for this chat, and really it's just an opportunity for you to respond and, on a sort of right to reply basis. So,
Paul, I appreciate the opportunity to respond. Thank you.
You're welcome, Gavin. First point was about, I appreciate that you've got just over half of revenue is recurring, but I made the point that there's limited earnings visibility due to Q4 license renewals skewing the full year profits so much. So over to you if you want to respond on that point.
Yes, at Brady, we operate in the commodity markets, and for our revenue model, we have about 55% of our revenue is contracted. We get service revenues for implementation of our software, and we have a good visibility, 15 to 20% further visibility of that at the beginning of the year. So as we start the year, we have something like 65% to 70% of the revenue for the whole year that we can see. We always have to find new deals, that's clear. And we also have additional service engagements. But I think, I think from Brady's perspective, commodity markets have been under tremendous downward pressure. I mean, I'm sure everyone's read the press, but if you look at the Goldman Sachs index, from the high in May of last year to the low in January, the market dropped by 40%, and that's across all commodities. So we're operating in extremely tough conditions. Despite those very tough conditions, we managed to sell additional business in the second half of the year, secure new contracts, new names. And whilst, I am disappointed for our shareholders that our share price has come down, and I do absolutely recognize that our earnings have come down. I think we operated last year in extremely tough conditions, and despite that, we put on new contracts, new names. It did fall short overall in the year, and principally that fell short because decisions were delayed. We'd lined up contracts the second half of the year. Q4 is normally a big spending time for not just in the commodity sector, but across the board. And, a number of those contracts were deferred, not lost. But I would draw attention to the fact that we signed two of the biggest contracts we've ever signed in the first half with absolutely world-class names.
In the first half of last year or this year?
In the first half of 2015. So
right,
we signed a deal with one of the top four commodity companies on the planet, and we signed a significant deal with the world's largest recycling company. So despite the turmoil in the marketplace overall, we've signed some great names, and whilst we had anticipated the second half to be comparable to the first half, the market dropped 40%, and that led to contract deferrals.
Okay. So, but I think the point I made about this limited earnings visibility is still a valid point, though, isn't it?
Well, I think in our software business for 2016, we have forecast revenues of about £30 million. And five of that comes from licensing. So 16% of our revenues, we have to go and find license in the market. I still think that's a relatively modest amount compared to the 84% of our revenues that we can already see. We've always got to win new business, and I'm confident that if we could sign additional contracts in the second half of last year, hopefully this year will be a bit more sane in the marketplace. It's too early to tell. A lot of the commodity stocks got hit very hard last year, and I think they've rebounded a number of them rebounded by over 30%. But I think a number of commodity companies are having to sell assets to pay down, you know, debts on leveraged balance sheets. From Brady's perspective, we don't have a leveraged balance sheet. We generate cash in the business. We have cash. We have no debt. So I think actually we're a very sound business. And if people are looking for an unleveraged commodity play, then I think Brady is very well positioned to provide that.
Okay. Can I just come back to you on a couple of points relating to that answer? I take your point about the fact that revenue is relatively predictable because of recurring and service income and so on. But the issue from my point of view in terms of trying to value the shares is obviously the profit moves about such a lot because the license revenues are kind of almost 100% margin, aren't they? So although there are relatively small elements of revenue, it's clear that the big swing in licensing revenue, although not at the revenue line, is a huge impact on profit. I mean, earlier on in the year, I see brokers are forecasting about 6.5p EPS, and the outturn was 0.98p. So, I mean, it's almost impossible to predict, I think.
Well, I think we are a young software company. We are increasingly taking market share. I think from nowhere in the commodities space 8 years ago, we are now ranked within the top five globally. So we continue to invest in our products. We continue to win major contracts globally, not just in Europe, but around the world. In fact, the Sims deal was for their recycling business throughout the whole of Australia and Asia Pac. And, we're winning market share. We're winning very significant contracts. And, I think, not to labor the point, I think from AIM and listed stock market, clearly there's a very high focus on earnings. I absolutely recognize and understand that. If I look at the tech industry generally, if you look at particularly the privately held U.S. companies, they believe in investing in their products. They believe in investing for the future and, judge a quality of the business. Earnings are tremendously important. I absolutely acknowledge that. But look at the momentum in the business. Look at the quality of contracts we're signing and the ability to win those on a major basis. I couldn't do that 3 or 4 years ago because I didn't have, support in the States and Asia-Pac. We've invested. We're now able to sell around the world. I wasn't able to sign business with a top four commodity company on the planet. We invested in the product. We're getting the return. So, whilst I accept the point that while we have licenses, we will have volatility in the earnings. However, we do have a balance sheet dominated by cash, which gives us the buffer. And the question is, is there momentum in the business and are they gaining market share?
Okay. Good points, Gavin. You're very persuasive. sorry, being cheeky there. Just coming back on one point. In terms of the licensing revenues, again, I mean, I think we've agreed they're inherently, lumpy, not terribly predictable. Assuming that commodities markets continue improving, do you believe that the licensing side of things will become more predictable as those markets settle, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that we need to look at, the medium-term trend in our licensing. And I think if you look at the analysis over the last 5 years, our license contract size has been increasing. Our market share has been increasing. And whilst, I'm very mindful, investors are interested in our semi-annual and annual results, and if a license falls within 1 year or into the next, it makes a material difference on our earnings.
Mm. Yeah.
Having said that, you've got to look at the overall trajectory and are we signing more and more business and are we winning more and more license contracts? So, I understand the necessity to give results on an annual basis, but I think we also need to look at the medium term. And are strategically these guys making an inroad in a marketplace? The market we serve is about a $1.5 billion spend. I think Brady have come from nowhere to within the top five globally. The top two players who are, tend to be oil dominated are very highly leveraged with debt. They're struggling. Their market share is declining, and that creates a fantastic opportunity in a really big market for Brady to sell into and grow into. So I can either be cautious and pull back and hold off what we're doing, or I'm going to continue to try and take market share, which we're doing.
Okay. So really, shareholders have just got to live with the volatility, haven't they, really, in terms of shorter-term earnings, I guess?
Well, I think we have to look at the, you know, medium-term trajectory on the business. And,
yeah,
you know, licenses are part of our model. You know, we will absolutely do our best to inform people, you know, where we are on our results and earnings. And I think, you know, historically we've done well in terms of growing the business, growing the margin on our business. And, you know, I'd say last year was extraordinary. You know, I've obviously been talking to a lot of equity analysts and investors who've had a, you know, turbulent period over the first quarter of this year because the stock market came off 10%. You know, from high to low, from 2008 to this year, commodity prices are down 70%. And, you know, in the last 6 months alone of last year, they dropped 40%. Now, I don't think that's going to be, you know, a long-term trend. You know, the demographics for demand for commodities with increasing world population will change. And, you know, as unproductive mines go out of business or unproductive oil wells shut down, you know, we will see a shortage of supply and markets will start to move back up. And I think you're seeing that already in commodity stocks rallying higher so far this year.
Okay, thanks for that. Next point really is just something I wanted to clarify. In my first draft of the report, I thought that the 2015 earnings had come in below revised expectation. But it turns out actually they hadn't. So I just want to I did put a clarification note in the report. Apologies for that. I think although it does highlight the fact that it's difficult to get broker forecasts out to private investors. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on perhaps how, how private investors might be better kept informed about what the forecasts actually are.
There are, I mean, there are research houses who publish papers on us, so
we can't usually get hold of most. I mean, I can normally, but most private investors really struggle to get hold of them. That's really my point.
So we have, there's, I think I'll name them, there's companies like Edison who provide independent research, so people are able to, you know, purchase those reports. And to be honest, I'm not sure what the price is, but they're able to purchase those reports, or
they're free. Actually, I think Equity Development and Edison are both free. I mean, do you commission research of that nature for Brady?
So we have our house broker, Cenkos, who don't cover retail. We have Edison and Singer have actually initiated research coverage, which is, you know, is truly independent.
Okay. I didn't realize you had Edison reports, so I'll check those out, because those ones are freely available to private investors. So that's definitely useful. So that was an oversight on my part by the looks of it. Apologies for that. Next point, let's talk about the dividend, because I took issue with you saying that you've temporarily suspended the dividend. And then you said to maintain the strong balance sheet. But my view is that, you know, net tangible asset value actually being slightly negative, 355K, it's not personally what I would consider to be a particularly strong balance sheet. And if it was, you wouldn't need to cancel the dividend.
Well, we have cash on it. So from the last forecast that I think that we discussed, you're right, we still have business to sign in the full year. And actually, we signed those contracts, one. And two, the cash value on the balance sheet at the end of the year was higher than the market had expected. So we're at £6.5 million worth of cash on the balance sheet. We took out £2 million worth of costs We saw no benefit from that last year. We see the full benefit coming through from this year. Now, we continue to monitor the market environment and see if it, there's a further lurch to the downside. We want to be cautious. But, I think, honestly, the analysis of the balance sheet, we have cash. We will be cash flow positive again this year. The cash balance went down overall last year, mainly because we paid dividends. We did a couple of acquisitions, and we had some bonus payments from the previous year, which are non-repeatable. So I think we're cash flow positive, and with cash on the balance sheet and absolutely no debt at all, I think we're actually in a very healthy position.
Okay. Just coming back to you on cash. Obviously, it's essentially customers' money that they've prepaid. The deferred income creditor corresponds to most of the cash figure, although I accept none of that is actually – it's not really a creditor deferred income, is it, because it's not repayable in any way.
It's not repayable, it's cash.
No, that's right. So it's customer money, essentially, that's sitting on the balance sheet in advance of you providing services to them. So my question is, the Q4, given that you sign licenses in Q4 and so on, is the balance sheet cash figure on 31st of December, is that a seasonal high? And what would your average cash balance be throughout the year?
Well, I think this is not I think this is not cash that's going back to customers. We absolutely, if you look historically, and I think last year was a more challenging year, but historically, we absolutely believe in driving top-line revenue growth, generating 20% margin on the business. That margin is converted into cash. With that cash, every year for the last seven, we've paid a progressive dividend, and so we like to pay a dividend, and we also look to put that cash to work to, find other software companies which we can then bring into our customers. So this is not a future liability for us. This is cash that we've generated. And I think if you look at the deferred revenue and accrued income numbers on our balance sheet, they're very modest, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I accept it's not a liability in terms of being repayable, but the status, it's upfront payments from customers, which it has created the bulk of the cash figure.
I have to take exception to that. If you look at the margin that we've been generating on the business, last year was an exception. We have consistently had positive margin on the business, which has generated cash, and that cash is, accumulated on our balance sheet.
Yeah, but it's for service. The point is the deferred income line records the other side of the double entry. So the double entry is debit cash when the customers pay license fees up front. It's debit cash, credit deferred income. So and then you feed the deferred income into the P&L over the following year, don't you?
Yeah, but there's maintenance payments we get, in advance, which is, good cash collection on our side. But I don't see anything, the deferred income is steady from what it was last year. It's 5.3 million. I don't see any, that's normal, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, I know some investors like to see a deferred income line because it gives sort of certainty of future revenue. So I accept there are two ways of looking at that.
On that point, because we have about 17 million of, recurring revenues, then yes, we do work hard to get that cash up front, but that rolls on a continual basis. So of our 400 customers, there's not one of them who doesn't pay us maintenance, and that typically happens up front, and we roll it through the year. That's very common, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Software businesses usually have net cash and the deferred income line. So just to recap then on that, can you clarify what your average cash balance is throughout the year?
It actually increases from December to January, February, because we signed business at the end of last year that comes in. So
okay.
Cash tends to move up in Q1. Then starts to come down a bit into the summer months, and then picks up again in Q3 and Q4.
Okay, so is that 6.6 a typical figure average throughout the year?
Yeah, I'd say for the last few years. And say what we have been doing with the cash is that we've acquired a couple of very attractive software businesses last year, I think at very attractive prices. And we're taking opportunity of distressed software companies in the commodities space to acquire really good assets at really good prices.
Okay. Just looking at the outlook then, your most recent outlook statement said, the key words to me were remains uncertain. Can you expand on that perhaps?
Well, the macro scenario for commodities has been very volatile. And whilst we say it's uncertain in terms of are the commodity markets going to rebound and start to move up? Are they going to have another lurch to the downside? And I think this has been very well publicised in terms of you've seen the oil price movements, and it's no different for metals or food or scrap metals. So these are the market conditions our customers are operating in. From our side, we've taken over $2 million of cost out of the business, from non-revenue generating parts of the business. We've lowered our license expectations, not because we don't think we can win significant contracts, but we're just not sure whether the customers will get budget approval. So part of the downgrade from last year, we were well advanced in a number of contracts, which ultimately got deferred because of the macro commodity environment. So this year, for example, coming into last year, we were feeling confident. We'd signed a couple of deals, very big deals, 9 in total in the first half. We had a license target of £9 million. This year, we're just over 5. So we're being more prudent on the larger contracts, not because we don't think we can sign business, but we're just revising expectation on timing. So lower expectation on licensing, much lower cost control, gives me more confidence on the business outlook. But, we're still mindful of the wider commodity environment. And, the signs so far, Q1, market's rebounding. I think a lot of people have thought maybe the commodity stocks are oversold. And, we wait and we're prudent, so we're planning for the worst, but expecting the best.
Okay. Just another thought in terms of going back to the lumpiness of the license income. You must have considered going over to a SaaS model. Is that not the solution longer term?
The SaaS model is great because you have very high recurring revenues. What it doesn't help you with is you burn cash, and I think if you look at particularly the US software market business, you have companies like Salesforce is a perfect example that they fought hard to get high recurring revenues, but they've been burning cash along the way. And so the upside is you get recurring revenues. The downside is there's a painful transition where you burn cash to get to that point. As a nascent business, we love having cash. It helps us to invest in our business going forward, and it helps us to expand where necessary. I think there are pros and cons. People always think that a recurring revenue model is great. If you're burning cash along the way, then you have to ask your shareholders to invest. So there are pros and cons.
Yeah, okay, fair point. Probably the last point I wanted to cover was just on the pension deficit. It's quite unusual, but very unusual actually, for software companies to have pension deficits. What's the sort of amount of are you having to make overpayments into the fund, and what level are they?
No, this is complex Swiss accounting rules. In fact, in Switzerland, we have a pension which is defined, it's defined contribution, and it's guaranteed by Zurich Re. And under Swiss rules, we cannot allow for Zurich their underwriting of our pensions, and so we have to take it as a defined defined benefit. So our risk is that Zurich Re go out of business. So it's purely a technical accounting rule. And the reason the liabilities increased is Swiss interest rates have gone down and the PV of that liability has increased. But actually, we are on defined benefit. If Zurich Re go bust, then we've got a problem. But I think if Zurich Re go bust, there's probably wider
problems. Everyone's got a problem. Yes, quite. So you're not having to make any, just to clarify, just to confirm, you're not having to make any overpayments into it then?
Not at all. Absolutely
good.
Not at all.
I'm glad I clarified that. That's excellent. Okay, well, I think that's covered all the points in my report. Any sort of final points you want to cover, Gavin, that we haven't covered already?
No, just in closing, you know, the market's been phenomenally difficult. We did continue to sell in very challenging market conditions. The commodity markets won't go down forever. And I think Brady are absolutely an unleveraged player in that space, and we are signing some great contracts.
Okay. Good. Thank you for your time today, Gavin. It's good catch up, as always. And, I'll publish this so the message gets out to private investors. So thanks again.
Paul, thank you very much. Thank you.